my calculations are correct, when this baby hits 88 miles per hour, you're gonna see some serious shit.
Do you really think you have a chance against us, Mr. Cowboy?
Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
It's showtime.
Right, welcome everybody to another episode of the VHS Strikes Back. I am one of your hosts, Chris Phelps, and my co-host and very old friend is Mr. Dave Horrocks.
Hi, Chris, and hello to our listeners out there. Welcome to the VHS Strikes Back, the show where we dust off the old video player and go on a nostalgic journey to look at the good and the bad movies of yesteryear. Now, Chris, it was your pick this week. What are we going to review?
Well, Dave, if anyone listened last week, I didn't go down the route of the... I know I've avoided a few martial arts movies recently, Dave. They are coming back. I've got a little list there. But it was something that just come by chance. We were watching Gogglebox. I know I said it last week. And it basically, the guys on Gogglebox are watching this movie. And I'm like, oh, how the hell have I not picked this movie as one of the VHS Strikes Back? So we're going back to 1993. It's one of my favourite movies, Dave, in that illustrious top 20 movies. And it's Jurassic Park, Dave. So honestly, I've been so excited to do this one with you. So obviously, we know we've both watched it, but have you got any memories of the first time you watched this one, Dave?
You know what? I have been racking my brains, and I honestly cannot remember the first time I watched this. What I remember is the build-up to it, because you couldn't escape it, could you? It was this huge movie. It came with all this fanfare and build-up, and everyone was going on about how amazing the special effects were and everything, and the fact that the dinosaurs looked real. You know, you didn't have this kind of stop-motion animation thing where you can tell everything's fake. But I must have watched it either at the cinema or when it just came out on video. But I'm really struggling to remember that first time. I just know it was before I went away to college, so it must have been 93 or early 94. So I think what it is, Chris, when I was a young kid, I was like, I was really into dinosaurs. I was fascinated by them. I suppose a lot of kids are. Don't know if they are nowadays. There's too much other stuff. I mean, when we were kids, it was fuck all to do. You know, so, or there was less to do. So, you know, I was fascinated by the dinosaurs. Used to love, I had these little figures. I had like a Triceratops, you know, and a T-Rex and stuff. And I just thought they were fascinating. This idea that you had these massive creatures, you know, that walked the earth before we were around. And so, yeah, I think because I was so into it as a young kid, I mean, when this comes out, Chris, I'm 17. There is lots for a young boy to do at 17.
With himself, yeah.
And I just wasn't as into dinosaurs as I previously had been. You know, I was wanting to go out and stuff, you know, and I guess I was just more consumed by that, which is why going watching things like Terminator 2, I remember that vividly. That was a few years before this. I think I was at 95. Wayne's World as well. Yeah, I remember those vividly at the cinema, but this one, I just didn't. How about yourself, Chris?
Oh, I've got loads to talk about this one, Dave. I'm going to bore you senseless now. So I'm the same as you. I think
again. Probably...
Let me finish. So, oh, by the way, just before I get into it, our latest poll, Dave. So we had basically let's tell a little backstory. For some reason, you might have seen these guys, but the VHS Strikes Back just disappeared from iTunes. Podcasts Connect, so iTunes podcast, they basically just did an update, and we were wiped off in certain regions, weren't we, Dave? Mm-hmm. Specifically, the UK. So we've fought tooth and nail for nearly 10 days to get us back on. We're on everything else, Spotify, all over catches, but we just could not find our show. If you downloaded our episodes, we're still there in your library and all this. So I was like, right, all of a sudden, last Friday, it just come back on. We'd had the stupid automated message from iTunes. Yes, it's now been solved. And we were both going, no, it fucking hasn't.
Yeah.
We'd not found it. And we were refreshing it and everything. And anyway, just randomly appeared again on Friday, which was fantastic. So I thought, right, I'm going to do one of my little polls. So I basically said, you know, we disappeared for 10 days. Which one would you miss the most if we disappeared? So it was me. It was Dave. Nobody had missed your Horrocks. Chris would miss me. The Golden Girls. And then I think I remember the last one was, there was four, wasn't there, Dave? But Anyway, the Golden Girls won, Dave. They won quite candidly in the latest poll. Not one of my best, but it's all I could think of on the fly. But anyway, right, so back to Jurassic Puzzle. Thank you, everyone, for voting, because I just get loads of stick, Dave, especially when I try and steer it towards myself. Everyone sticks up for you, so I'm sort of like the pantomime villain.
It's because you make it so blatant for yourself.
I know I'm going to get it, but yeah, I love it. I do love it, because everyone just comes at me. So thanks, guys, and keep coming at me. I always feel like Jon Snow when I send these polls out, Dave, and everyone's just charging at me. But anyway,
shot where all the horses are going towards him.
And he survives, Dave. But anyway, right, so for me, I this got 93. I remember I was at my nan's in Old Trafford. My uncle and my auntie used to stay on a Friday for some reason. They say it was there, my auntie's mum and dad, but I was always there as well. I was like, was it 93? So it was 14, 15. And my uncle come in like, I've got this film, I've got Jurassic Park. And I had heard loads about it. As you said, our age was all about the Jurassic era, history, everything. I was fascinated by it. I used to love watching stuff like Godzilla and Godzuki cartoon and that. You know, like, I know it's slightly different, but I used to love that one where they'd call for Godzilla and he'd come out the water and Godzuki was there, bloody jet skiing and all that nonsense. So I always had a fascination with that era. We couldn't afford to go to the cinema at this point, Dave. There was five of us at the time. My mum was probably about to have my sister, who's six, there's nine, isn't there? So we had no money whatsoever. So we could never go to the cinema. I was relying on my grandparents to sort of take us now and again, and they wouldn't have gone to watch this. But I remember him coming in, it was a Friday night. It's like, right, I've got this. And I'm like, oh, I've got to watch it. It was the worst copy ever. Obviously, it's a dark, dreary film anyway, with the rain and everything. But we're getting it on a VHS, proper hot, dodgy pirate wasn't the best. So I remember about 6 months later, so it come out and we went to Blockbuster and rented it, and I was just in love with it. Absolutely love this movie. I've had it on VHS and everything. And after the first one, every other movie I've been to the cinema to see them all. Absolutely loved, even the third one in this first trilogy gets slated, but I actually really like it. So I'd watch that. And then when we went to New York in Christmas 2019, my brother-in-law and sister-in-law were like, oh, we're going to go to the Natural History Museum. I'm like, oh, I just don't want to go to this at all. We're in New York. Why do I want to go to that? It's right next to Central Park, Dave. I've never seen a life-size dinosaur. Even though in Manchester, they have a museum there with T-Rexes and everything. I've never been and actually seen the size of it, and it was awesome. Yeah. I absolutely loved it. These pictures of me with the T-Rex, Sam and that were like, this is just so boring. And I'm like, oh, this is amazing. And everything, the Triceratops, you had like the different eras. So mainly the dinosaur era, but you had all the other ones as well. And before the pre-Jurassic era, the other sort of dinosaur-y things, that it was brilliant. And I absolutely loved it. And it always, for me, comes back to this movie. You know, the T-Rex have had a fascination with so much. And in the latest Jurassic Park movies, the first one with Chris Pratt and Ron Howard's daughter, mm-hmm. I think it's absolutely stunning. That wrote so many wrongs about what they did in...
Sorry, did you say Ron Howard is stunning?
No, his daughter, Dave. I hope it cut out at that point. Yeah,
Bruce,
his daughter.
Bruce Howard.
His daughter. Even though she's running in high heels from a T-Rex, but they sorted out the wrongs of the third one in this trilogy when the T-Rex got a good chewing and that. So, yeah, for me, it's one of my favourite franchises ever. And, Dave, $63 million it cost to make it. Yeah, $1.034 billion it made.
$1 billion.
Yeah, and I put my little finger in my mouth. Plus all the merchandise and everything. Jurassic Park was a huge movie when we were teenagers. It was massive in that early 90s. So yeah, I loved it. Absolutely loved it. And I was just so excited to put it on, and I've got the Blu-ray special edition. I'm like, oh, I've got to watch it. And Sam come in, she went, I thought we were watching this together. And I'm like, well, I need to record it with Dave.
Don't be throwing me under the bus again.
No, you didn't get a bollocking. It was me. And then she went, you better be watching on that Blu-ray. I went, he's here. And I'm like, I've got it here. It's the Blu-ray you bought me. So, but I'd bought the 3D. Sam got me the 3D version of the first one with Chris World. So I'm going to have to watch that again as well. That's so good.
Yeah, I must admit, because I didn't have these on DVD, and I was looking, checking all the various streaming sites and stuff, where can I get it, and it wasn't available anywhere. Spotted on Amazon, you can get the 5-movie pack for, I think it was £13.50. It's a bargain, that is. So I snapped that one up for this one, so we'll have to do the others as well.
Yeah.
I really like them all. Like, I can't really remember as much about the second one. As soon as I start watching it, I'll remember it. But it's not quite as memorable as this first one. And it's funny you say that about the dinosaurs, because I remember going to, like, museums with the school and stuff. And you're right, they're just huge, aren't they? And just, I think it's the scale of them, especially when you're a kid. They're just these monster things, aren't they? And obviously, yeah, you've got stuff like the Loch Ness Monster and stuff like that, which is supposedly a dinosaur. They're just fascinating. But I was intrigued. I've not seen this one for a few years now, and I was interested to see, okay, how do the effects stand up? We've seen some stuff, Chris, from the 90s where the special effects are horrendous, aren't they?
Yeah.
And so I thought, is this one really going to stand up? Well, I'm not going to put my cards down just yet on that.
Okay. So, shall we get into our trailer?
Let's go.
Since the beginning of time, man has searched the earth for evidence of its past. But while some have looked for clues to the mystery, one man has found the way to bring the mystery back to life.
I own an island off the coast of Costa Rica, and I've spent the last 5 years setting up a kind of biological preserve
here. On this private island, science has defied evolution.
Where do you get a 100-million-year-old dinosaur plaque?
Genetics has mastered creation.
We've made living biological attractions so astounding that they'll capture the imagination of the entire planet.
And extinction is a thing of the past.
Welcome to Jurassic Park.
None of these attractions are ready yet, of course, but the park will open with the basic tour you're about to take.
Hey, look at this!
You see something?
Dinosaurs and man. Two species separated by 65 million years of evolution have just been suddenly thrown back into the mix together.
Can I touch it?
How can we possibly have the slightest idea?
You feel that?
What to expect?
It's a feeling all over the park. Phones are out too.
Gotta go.
Universal Pictures presents.
I can't get Jurassic Park back online.
Adventure 65 million years in the making.
Just a delay. After all, it is all major theme parks have delays. When they opened Disneyland in 1956, nothing worked.
But John, if the Pirates of the Caribbean breaks down, the pirates don't eat the tourists. You sure we're safe?
Yes. Unless they figure out how to open doors.
Jurassic Park.
Now, industrialist and also Patreon for this show, John Hammond, has created a theme park of cloned dinosaurs, Jurassic Park, on Island Nebula, on Nubla, an island off the Costa Rican coast. After a dinosaur handler is killed by a velociraptor, the park's investigators, represented by a lawyer, Donald Gennaro, demand that the experts visit the park and certify its safety. Gennaro invites mathematician and chaos theorist Ian Malcolm, while Hammond invites paleontologist Dr. Alan Grant and Dr. Ellie Sattler. Upon arrival, the group is shocked to see a live Brachiosaurus. Now, Chris, what do you reckon to the opening of this movie?
Dave, I'll be honest with you. I'm not going to be shitting on this movie one bit today. So, the one thing I'd say, watching it now, 1993, it's nearly 30 years old, And even though I've got this remaster one, it needs a remaster, I think, because when they see the... So I'll talk about different things. So paleontology stuff, and I always remember when that kid's giving Ian Mao, he's giving Sam Neill a load of shit, and he's basically saying, like, it's a turkey or whatever, and he gets the velociraptor's claw, and he said, yeah, he'd go across your stomach here. And I remember being a kid, like, absolutely going, oh, my God, you know, this could be so real. And I always found that... the whole theory, how they brought them back to life, real, like it could happen. And I've read loads of things saying that is actually a possibility that they could do something like that. Like they found mammoths, something and stuff, completely entombed in like the ice and stuff over the years. They found one a couple of years ago. But I think it's really good. I think the way it starts is great. You're not sure what the idea is it behind it. And then obviously... with Alan and Ellie, they're obviously in the middle of the desert. They're just doing the proper paleontology stuff, which I'll be honest with you, Dave, I know this name, but I probably know it more from Ross Geller or Friends because he's a paleontologist. But it's just, it starts really well. The music is so iconic. And it makes a laugh with Richard Attenborough. That Scottish accent's dodgy as hell, Dave. You know, his brother's obviously one of the most famous documentary, you know, animal wildlife preservists in the world. No one forgets that. And I always remember Richard Attenborough from The Great Escape, but I'm not sure on that Scottish accent. It's only as I've got older, I realised he was putting a Scottish accent on.
I had never noticed that before. But when it starts off, I'm like, oh, I don't remember him being Scottish. Yes. Yeah. But just right at the start when he's talking to Alan and Ellie, but then through the movie, it disappears and he's like this posh British bloke, posh English bloke. And it's like, what the hell happened there? He was definitely Scottish at the start, wasn't he?
Yeah, he just give it up, I think, Dave. But honestly, I think the cinematography on this film is fantastic. When they do see the Brachiosaurus, the only thing I'd say is, that's probably the one bit that's quite jarring for the CGI. That bit now really stands out like a sore thumb. The line is sort of like a weird line around.
There's an outline on it, isn't
yeah,
there?
Yeah, yeah. And then he leans up, doesn't he, the dinosaur and gets like the leaves and stuff. But it's the intenseness of it. So we've seen the velociraptor grab that guy and the hunter guy's there, and he's got hold of him and he drags him in and everything. I always remember, Dave, watching it like, going, oh my, and I thought it was a T-Rex at first, you know, like, even though it's not a massive cage. But yeah, for me, it starts off brilliantly and it just lays everything down. I will say, Dave, that I think fucking Dr. Ian Malcolm, Jeff Goldblum's a fucking raging sex pest because he's dying to get a bit of Ellie.
He is a bit, isn't he?
the flirting and the touching and he doesn't give a shit, Sam Neill. He's sort of like, yeah, whatever, do whatever you want. He's looking at dinosaurs, so yeah, that's very odd. I've definitely seen porn movies with that sort of stuff going on, Dave.
there's a really weird line that John Hammond says, though, when they're in the helicopter and Jeff Goldblum's got his, you know, his sex pestedness turned up to 11, and Hammond goes like, I brought along scientists, or was it scientists? Yeah, I think I brought along scientists and you brought along a rock star. I just thought, that is a shit line, that, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's really bad. I think it's supposed to be some kind of put down. But I was sort of confused as well that, talk about a shit line, there's a brilliant line where, you know, they're laying into Hammond a bit because, you know, they're saying he needs to be a lot more responsible, you know, and Jeff Goldblum's got some brilliant lines, hasn't he, about, you know, you were so focused on whether you could do this, you never stopped to ask, you know, should you do it? And then Hammond says, the only one who's on my side is the blood-sucking lawyer. That was brilliant. But I was wondering, because the lawyer seemed to end up there because, you know, they're checking that the park's safe and what have you. But then he seems to be the one so obsessed with money. He suddenly becomes an accountant.
Yeah.
You know, he's like saying about how much money they can work. And it's like, you're a lawyer. Win, lose or draw, you always make money, you fucking twat.
Yeah.
You know? So I just found that a bit odd that a lawyer was so kind of money obsessed, you know, when he finds out what they've got there.
Yeah. And what's weird though, Dave, so when obviously Malcolm and that, and they all see the dinosaurs, and then Hammond takes them into what I couldn't get, I must admit now, watching it now, the one thing I couldn't get is the science side of it. So I'm not a massive, you know, never great at science and that, but it fascinates me. And like you say, the whole cartoon thing they do about the DNA, about how they get the mosquito. I mean, Dave, the fucking mosquitoes are tiny. It's fucking needle in a haystack, isn't it? That they, literally to find that. But they find these mosquitoes, they draw the blood. I might be wrong here, but is there nothing about the acceleration of how these dinosaurs have grown so quickly? Because obviously it's a breathing island. This isn't something that's just inceptually just happened in 2 years or something, is it?
Yeah, so you get the impression they've been going at this for years. Because there's a few lines in the movie later on where I think when they see the Triceratops, and I'm sure he says something like, you know, such and such thing happens every 6 months or something like that. It's implied that these dinosaurs, you know, they've been doing this for a number of years. So it's a little bit hand wavy, because you'd have thought to you know, grow a Brachiosaurus or something like that, it can take years and years, isn't it, from hatching from a little egg?
Yeah. Yeah. And also, Dave, I know we haven't got the internet and stuff, but if you take a step back, someone would have smuggled out that they're building or creating dinosaurs on some island. So that's a little bit of a, you know, nobody knew about it type thing, other than Dodson, who obviously is an absolute, see you next Tuesday, who plays an iconic character in this, who's the guy who takes a bung in that. But I must admit, when I watch it even now, the whole DNA thing and the frogs and everything else just works. We get a young Samuel Jackson in there. He's like the man, and he's one of the top guys. And Dodson's just having this meeting with that guy, blackmails him. And I must admit, I do like the bit when the guy comes and he's got the shades on and the hat and he's whatever his name is, and he's going, yeah, 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 nobody cares. Why are you a secret agent? And he's in it for the money. So you sort of know that something's going to happen to him. However, Dave, in personal life, he's in jail, I think, that guy now.
Is he?
Some bad stuff. That's all I'll say. But,
God.
I think Gary Glitter. One. Gary Glitter, Dave. But there you go.
Fuck's sake.
I know. So anyway, but as a film, in this film at this time, he was a great character. But I think that just works. And it makes Laffy Dodson's desk, Dave. How the hell Hammond has let that? And this is, we're going out to John Hammond, our Patreon, our good friend. How has he let that happen, Dave? I love that little thing he did at the start. But no, it just works. And when they go on the little tour and they're like trying to break free and the whole cloning thing, you know, that it's almost like Pet Sematary, isn't it? They say it.
It is a bit, and I've got to say, I mean, I love the concept, though. I, you know, it's one of those daft things. It's only going back and watching this movie now, I'm like, you know what, I would quite like to read the novel. The novel came out in, like, 1990, and I think it would be interesting to compare it. But when they're going on the ride, you know, and they've seen the kind of eggs and stuff, and they're like, oh, I need a closer look at that. And then the three of them are struggling to get the bar up. And then the old guy just casually sort of raises it up. The old guy and the fucking lawyer. Just casually raise their up. But then they run off, you know, to see if they can get a look. But then the next scene, John Hammond is at the front of the group, just casually walking them down the stairs. Yeah. And it's like the continuity is completely off.
Yeah, because his limp, he loses the limp a couple of times as well, Dave, in that. Because I agree, because when they push it off, it was hilarious, because I thought that, for them three really give it a heave-ho, which is a shit ride, really, because if you're at Alton Towers, Dave, that's not what you want, or Blackpool, is it, honestly, you know what I mean?
Exactly. So,
and then I thought the same thing. It's weird how you pick up on these things. However, when they go on the proper tour into the actual park, and they're on that whole thing, the idea of it, obviously they've got the T-Rex, and he keeps saying, Alan keeps saying, well, you know, you've got a T-Rex and that. And then they put that goat there, don't they?
Yeah.
And that's when they go off then, and they go walking, and they see the Triceratops that's injured, don't they? And she's got her hands in the shit, and you're like, oh, no. And he says, let me go, well, that's a big piece of shit, pile of shit. Yeah. Kind of thing. But it's all iconic moments. One of the first iconic moments is when Alan sees the Brachiosaurus and takes the glasses off. That whole great Scott, isn't it? You know, Doc Brown moment. He's like, and then he turns her head, Laura Dern's head, That's so iconic, Dave. There's so many pop culture things in this movie that stand out, even now watching it. And when he says, you know, welcome to Jurassic Park, Richard Attenborough, it gives me goosebumps watching it again. It was such a good experience.
Yeah. No, you're right. There's so many iconic moments. But the thing is, when you've got Sam Neill, like sort of Dr. Alan Grant, he's listening to the heartbeat, or, you know, of the Triceratops, isn't he?
Is it? Yes.
Yeah, it's not a Stegosaurus, is it? And he's listening to it. I just can't not see that gif, you know, where someone superimposed Sam Neill listening to Jeff Goldblum's breathing.
Yeah.
have you seen that?
Yeah.
Just think, it's hilarious. But yeah, there's little things like that. I have to say as well, Chris, one of the things I'm pleasantly surprised on is how they portray Dr. Ellie Sattler. So, yeah. Laura, played by Laura Dern, she is an actual fully rounded character. She's not a damsel in distress. And, you know, when we look back at a lot of these movies in the 80s and 90s, a lot of the female characters, the character development's pretty thin, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
Whereas she is, you know, she's got a bit about her. And, you know, doesn't need rescuing. You know, I was quite impressed that for an early 90s movie, she was this well-rounded character.
No, and I agree with that. It's a great call-out, to be honest. And even better, that she and Sam Neill are back, Dave, for the latest one that they're filming.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes.
Oh, that
I will
be good.
Day one, IMAX, fucking recliner seats, everything. I cannot wait.
I wasn't that convinced, you know, about Sam Neill's accent. It's not as bad as Richard Attenborough's Scottish accent, but it took me out a little bit. And I don't know if that's because I've just seen him in many other things now, you know. I know you've got some Northern Irish ancestry. That's where he was from originally, but he moved to New Zealand when he was quite young. So it is odd to see him, you know, with an American accent, I think.
You want to see him in Peaky Blinders, Dave, haven't you?
He's good, isn't he, in Peaky Blinders, to be fair. Yeah.
His Irish accent's bang on. Not a lot of people get that. He's good. I think he's good. I sort of agree with that. I do. I just think as a character, Alan Grant is great. He's the leader of this team, isn't he? He's the whole thing. And Dave, we've got to talk about the scene. So obviously everything breaks down. And obviously Dodson's got his little thing going and he's got to get away because he's got 50,000 and all this to get the embryos. It's when I love that water bit. That has got to be, as much as Alan with the glasses, that's probably more iconic. Just that water, just, and it just shakes.
Oh, right. Oh, the water bit, right.
Yeah. Oh,
you're talking about where they've got the cup of water.
Yes.
And then you've got the T-Rex sort of walking. It's like,
yeah.
Yeah, that is another iconic moment, isn't it? Because They've been trapped, so all the electricity in the park has been taken down. Does seem like a bit of a shit plan, doesn't it? I think the guy, what's his name? The bad guy with the
Dodson.
Dodson. So he needs to get to the boat so he can get away. But it's a crap plan to have to go through the park, isn't it? With all these fucking dinosaurs, you know what I mean? It is pretty bad, but... Yeah, so when you get that with the T-Rex, absolutely iconic. And what I'll say about the special effects, apart from that opening bit, I think when it's CGI, that's where it's like, you can see the joins and stuff. But when it's practical effects, when you've got, you know, the kids, because the lawyer just fucks it off, doesn't he? He just legs it off to the bog and, you know, leaves the kids on their own. And they're sort of shining the light at the T-Rex and you're like, fuck's sake, just point it to the floor or something, you know. But it's the fact that you've got the T-Rex, he kind of comes down, he's looking in this car and you can see his pupils dilate. It's just, for me, Chris, it looks absolutely brilliant still.
It does. It looks amazing. And Dave, I've got to call myself out here, and I know that a certain rather large gentleman from St. Helens who will tear me to pieces is screaming at us now saying, it's not Dodgson Chris, it's Dennis Nedry Dave. So the guy who I was calling out is on the list is the guy with the hat and glasses on who has said he's in jail. It's actually Wayne Elliott. He's Nedry is the guy, the dodgy one, and the one who takes the bribe and stuff, who works on the plant. So I got that wrong, so I can only apologise.
Dennis Nedry, yeah. Dennis Nedry, yeah.
He's gonna have me. Glyn, I'm really sorry, my friend. Because he always says his knowledge
he's
is
not
so
from St. Helens, is he?
Did he say St. Helens? Oh, he's Runcorn, isn't he, Glyn? Sorry. Yeah. Thank God he's not another one from St.
You're on fire today, aren't you?
Yeah, yeah. Knowledge is just second to none, Dave. But I know that Glyn's going to be like, Chris, you are talking utter shit. So, yeah. Glyn, if you're listening, I apologise.
And that bit where Hugo Weaving goes in and rescues, you know.
Keanu Reeves comes in and everything. Some of my knowledge today has been well off there, Dave. But anyway, so it's actually Dennis Nedry, or Nedry, whatever he is. That's the guy. That's the dodgy one. I think when he, that bit as well, though. So when Nedry, as he's trying to escape, and he comes across that dinosaur, doesn't he? And he's like, what? It's a Dilophosaurus or something. Dilophosaurus, I think. But it looks kind of cute, doesn't it? And I always remember watching it the first time, and he's like, yo, get out. No wonder you're extinct. And at that point, I remember as a kid going, oh, you're fucked now, mate. And then it fires all that stuff at him. And then you get the whole peacock thing, don't you? Oh, it's great. And I know you don't see him get killed, but I honestly think in this, even to this day, when you watch it, the scare effects and the tension is brilliant. It builds so much when people are under attack and distress in this. It's so good all the way through, I think.
Yeah, I seem to remember this being, you know, it's quite scary. You know what's coming now, don't you? But when he sees the little, you know, the Dilophosaurus, he sees it and it's all kind of cute and it's making like little cute noises as well. You know? And he doesn't seem threatened by it at all, which again seems a bit odd, doesn't it? It's like going into the lion's cage, you know, and thinking, oh, look, cute kitty. But when he sort of fires whatever that numbing agent is, or venom, or whatever it is, and it gets him on the eyes, you know, and then he kind of comedically hits his head, doesn't he, and rolls down the little stream thing. It's when he appears in the car, isn't it, and he gets the fins up on his back. He's like, and it's like, holy shit. And it just gets that classic kind of shot from outside the car where you just see the car going and you know he's getting ripped to pieces in there. It's just absolutely brilliant. And like I say, because you know it's coming, it's not quite as scary now. But I remember at the time being, you know, a bit shocked by that.
Yeah, me too. Me too, Dave, because there'd been nothing too sinister, you know, around. It was all around this time with the T-Rex. I mean, you've got the guy in the toilet, fucking lawyer on the toilet, Dave. That's just comedy. I know it's wrong because that's the first time we actually see the dinosaur grab somebody and actually kill them, which is quite interesting because it's a PG-13. But yeah, and then obviously we've...
But you want him to get killed, don't you?
Yeah, you do.
Because he's such a douchebag. Yeah. You're like, oh, get in, you know, eat him, the twat. Yeah.
No, you do. No, you're right. You're right. Cause it's, I love the tension, though, with, like, Grant and the two kids where the T-Rex turns over the vehicle and the kid's in there, the young lad, and they're going down the side of the wall and it's all in that paddock, the T-Rex paddock, and it's stuck in the mud. It's so good the way Spielberg and that framed it. It is. It's really, really good TV to watch. Good movie, sorry. But then as it goes on, it's like a fight for survival then, isn't it? Because it's like, where do we go? I mean, when you've got, so obviously Ellie is with Malcolm and he's hurt himself, he's broke his leg. That scene, Dave, with that Mulhoon guy, the one who's Muldoon, the actual like safari guy.
Yeah.
They're in the Jeep and it's
tell
a
you
T-Rex.
What, he had some short shorts, didn't he?
Oh, yeah. He's got good legs,
hasn't he?
Yeah, he come out with Ellie a bit later on, and I thought, oh, he's not missed leg day, that guy.
I know, it's the same thing. It's interesting that we're both, you know, ogling this guy's legs. But
basically, I tell you what, though, Dave, I've never noticed before, but you know the scene with the shit a bit earlier on?
How ripped
up was Jeff Goldblum? His arms were just, he was just, you know, when he got the proper veins, he was shredded to fuck.
Oh, I didn't notice.
Oh, Dave, he was proper 4 or 5% body fat there, Jeff Goldblum. He definitely got in shape for this. Why? We don't know, because he was injured for most of the
film. He's got massive leather jackets on. Yeah. Well, he did have his shirt off a bit later, didn't he, for the ladies?
That's true, actually. But yeah, he's in great shape. But yeah, Muldoon's legs, they come up straight away from us. Like, oh, right, okay, fair enough. But yeah, they're proper shorts. But I agree, though. I think it works well because they've split. However, what I would say is when Ellie and that get away and they go and you've got like John Hammond and Malcolm and he's downstairs and they're trying to get the power back on, is Ellie sort of forgets, and obviously Sam Neill appears at one point and he comes back in, Alan, and they sort of forget about the kids. So everyone's like in different scenarios within the park. But one of the other bits I love, Dave, is the electricity bit. When Alan goes to it with the kids and he goes,
yeah, yeah.
And he's laughing, the lad, and she's going, that's not funny. And he goes, oh, that's great. But when he comes over, that scene.
It's such a dad joke. Yeah, I was watching that and I was totally thinking, yeah, I'd do that.
Yeah, I would, yeah. Probably hits more as we've got older. But I love the scene with the kid when he gets electrocuted, and that leads to the whole Velociraptor thing finally, don't we? Because Muldoon knows with Ellie that they're out there. He says we're being hunted, and I think, oh, that's brilliant, because he's got like proper drips of sweat on his face and everything. Yeah. He's like, run. And
yeah,
honestly, Dave, the tension watching it even now is brilliant. I just love that whole scene at the end.
I thought he was a bit naive, though. You know, he's supposed to be, he's basically like a colonial hunter, isn't he? You know, yeah. And so I thought, we knew that the paleontologist, you know, so Alan, he knew that the velociraptors will get you from the side and whatever. We'd heard that at the start, you know, as foreshadowing for what's to come later. But you'd have thought with the hunter, he wouldn't have let himself be so, like, vulnerable there. You know, where the velociraptor comes in from the side.
Yeah, but I thought it was to do with the fact that, weren't most of the dinosaurs supposed to be female? And the velociraptors had sort of reproduced. There was more velociraptors than what they thought. I thought that, or maybe that's in the second one.
No, I think it's, well, so what you get at the end, or nearer to the end, you see all the eggs, the hatched eggs.
Yes.
And that's, so he talks about, so in nature, sometimes frogs, which they'd use frog DNA to fill in the blanks, if you like, of the dinosaur DNA. But some frogs switch sexes in nature. When, you know, they're surrounded by one particular sex, they can somehow switch their sex and then reproduce. And that was kind of why you've got a Jeff Goldblum's character in there as like a chaos theory expert. And saying that life finds a way. Because, I mean, really, if you think about it, if you can extract DNA from a mosquito, then you can extract DNA from a mosquito. But for the story, you've got to put this bit of frog DNA in there so you've got a way for them to reproduce.
Yeah, because it makes the whole branch of life, doesn't it, together.
Yeah.
So clever, really clever. But I think, Dave, again, so the scene with the two kids when the velociraptors are chasing him in that kitchen, brilliant. When he opens the door and they're like, well, he's, you know, they don't think they can open doors. And the next minute, yeah, the door opens. And I think the two velociraptors, because I remember being so like scared as a kid and like on edge, is even, I think their CGI is brilliant. That and the T-Rex really stand out even now. I don't think it's aged badly, that bit. There's a few bits earlier on, and you can see with the film grain that it's not filmed in HD, some of the stuff, whether in the jungle, in the jeeps and that. But when you get things like this, it works so well. And that scene for tension's brilliant.
Yeah, I love the way it's sort of looking through the little porthole, and then you can see it sort of snort, and you get the condensation on the window and stuff. It's absolutely brilliant. And a lot of it is practical, isn't it? It looks like the majority of it is practical, and then they probably, you know, when they're running and stuff, they've probably touched up the footage with some CGI to make it look a bit more realistic. But I think the way they've blended the practical effects and the CGI is so clever in this one.
Yeah, it is. It's brilliant. It's brilliant. And like I say, for a 30-year-old film, Dave, there's only a couple of bits where you go, oh, but as you watch the later films as well, it just progresses so well. So well for me. I honestly can't say anything bad about the movie, to be honest. Other than Jeff Goldblum being a raging sex pest, everything else is brilliant.
To be honest, I remember thinking when I first watched this, I really didn't like his character at all. And I think it's from that initial reaction where, because you don't know, are Ellie and Alan actually together, or are they just like work colleagues? I couldn't really tell from the movie, but it's kind of almost, it's implied without having a cliche love kind of triangle or anything like that. But so I think watching it the first time, I thought, you know, Ian Malcolm's character was, you know, a bit lecherous. But after that helicopter scene, actually, he did all right, you know, and he was talking a lot of sense about, you know, what's going to happen and, you know, the kind of pitfalls of just messing about with genetics. He essentially saved the kids, didn't he? You know, he grabbed the flare. He's sort of running away from the T-Rex and he throws away the flare thinking the T-Rex is going to follow it, but it fucking doesn't. And by a miracle of plot armor, you know, he ends up just with a broken leg, you know, and covered in the branches and stuff. And that's when the lawyer gets it. So I think after that helicopter scene, I thought Jeff Goldblum's character was quite good.
Yeah. And I always remember the third one. It's a very weird dynamic, but he sort of leads the whole film in the third one. It's more around him and his stepdaughter and that, Dave. So it's not,
right.
It might be something for us to do later on down, you know, get the second one out of the way in a few months. But yeah, brilliant. I just think everything's great. And when they're chasing, like the guys, obviously you've got the two kids, you've got Alan, you've got Ellie. When the young girl falls, Dave, and she actually falls through, Lex, she's called, didn't she? She falls through the skylight.
She has got, like, rock climber's grip. Yes. Hasn't she?
So,
there's no way an actual human, unless you were a fucking amazing rock climber, there's no way you'd be able to hold on to yourself. But it looked amazing, you know, because you could see the velociraptor underneath. Gotta say, Chris, the two young actors here, I thought were brilliant. I thought she was really good. And when, you know, for that bit, she's got that fear, you know, she expresses that fear, and especially when they're eating, you know, and she's got that green jelly, and it's like, oh, shit. You know, I just think both of those little actors were great, and, you know, the kid as well, where he's got all the spiky hair because he's been electrocuted. I thought they did a great job in this.
I do. I do as well. I agree with that. I think they're both good in their own way, Dave, but it all knits together really well. So when we get to the final confrontation, obviously they're trying to get out of the actual main building, and you've got
Velociraptor.
I nearly said the T-Rexaraptor, and I don't know what I was talking about, but the Velociraptor.
That's the next one.
Yeah, that's the next one. That's the hybrid. But the when they come and they're going to attack them, it's just great. Because you're like, well, where do they go now? And then the T-Rex comes in, Dave. Because you always got to remember, Dave, no matter how big you are, there's always a bigger fish out there. You know what I mean? And he comes in and takes names. And that whole scene, and they leg it, and that he's brilliant. But what I love is when the banner comes down.
Yeah, you know, the fucking dinosaurs rule the world.
Yeah, it's just so, it's cheesy, but it's also brilliant. As if to say, you know, you're only living on this world rent-free. Because I what I find fascinating, completely off the film, like you said earlier, is how these animals lived on this world that we're living on. It's just amazing, isn't it? It's amazing that millions of years ago we had these humongous animals. I know crocodiles and things like that, they're still around that, are, you know, they are classed as a dinosaur as such, aren't they? But they're smaller. They're not...
Sharks.
Like, sharks are, you know, tortoises. These different things, isn't there, that still to this day are clusters from that age have just evolved and stayed. They've basically stayed in the world. But I just find it fascinating, and I love the whole concept of this and the tension that everything brings. Just it, as a movie for me, I don't think you can get anything better.
Yeah. I think the thing with the Tyrannosaurus Rex coming in at the end there, it's almost like a Godzilla moment, isn't it? Yeah. It's like the T-Rex on its own is not good. Fucking scary, you know, as we learned earlier in the movie. But in the right context, you know, he's going after the velociraptors and they're putting up a decent fight, which creates that diversion for them to, for the humans to actually escape. So I thought it was really good. I was going to ask you, Chris, have you ever been to like Universal Studios?
No, never.
You want to check out, like, just, you can go onto YouTube and check out, like, Universal Studios Jurassic Park ride. I've been on it a couple of times, and it's bloody fantastic. It's really, really good. But there's a bit at the end where you kind of go over this waterfall, and as you're getting to the highest point, this T-Rex comes out of the shadows to, literally to come down and bite your head off. And then you disappear down the waterfall. Honestly, Chris, even just thinking about it now, it just gets my heart pounding. Because it's just, even though your mind, you know, this thing is just, you know, it's an animatronic part of the ride. There's something deep in your evolutionary makeup that's like, holy shit. Yeah,
it may not just be fake.
Yeah. It's really good. And actually, I was having a look. It looks like they've redone it all for the Jurassic World stuff. So you got like a few little video bits of Chris Pratt in there. But I'd really recommend it. Just go onto YouTube and have a look through the ride, because it's just brilliant.
I'll have a look at that, Dave, as soon as we finish. I mean that. But no... And I think the film just ends perfectly, Dave, the way they leg it out to the fucking Jeep, and he's like, right, well, Mr. Hammond, you know, the fucking park is extinct or whatever. It's like,
yeah, see ya. I do not endorse your park or something like that, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's brilliant. It's really good. And the music, it's the music again, Dave. The music's just so iconic.
We haven't talked about the music, have we? But it's one of those scores where I don't know if I could hum it. You know, I mean, I could now, but give it a few weeks. Could I actually hum through the theme tune? I'm not sure. But as soon as it starts up, you know it straight away as Jurassic Park.
Yeah, and it's John Williams, Dave, again.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he writes a decent score, doesn't he?
Oh, you know what, though, Dave? Just a quick, he does, to be fair. Guy the other day went on Facebook, and I know it's one of them subjective things. He went, Hans Zimmer, best movie composer ever. And I just went, John Williams, end of story. And he's like, no, I don't think so. He had a couple of good things, went... Fuck off. A
couple of good things.
I thought, you actually know anything about movies? And I'm not like, you know, a historian. I just do it for a bit of fun when we do these things, don't we? That's all we are. We're just two movie fans. But I'm like, you're a fucking bellend. And as soon as he started going on, I was like, he went, Inception is the best movie score ever. And I thought, well, I've never watched that film. I know it's not, because I've not heard many people tell me it's a great fucking movie score. And I'm like, you're a dick. So I was just like, right, end of that. He probably tunes in, so he'll probably message me going, I do listen to your show, you know, Chris.
Doubtful. I reckon the majority of people that I see that say Hans Zimmer is like this godlike figure are the same people who tweet hashtag, you know, release the Snyder Cup.
Yeah.
It's the same people. So, and like you say, music's very subjective, but I mean, you look at what John Williams has done. This one, you got Star Wars, you got Superman, you got Raiders of the Lost Ark, you've got Jaws. Exactly. It's just ridiculous how many great things he's done. I'd have to put up with Hans Zimmer in that kind of second tier, you know, below John Williams. You've got Alan Silvestri as well. You know, he's done a lot of great things. Back to the Future.
Danny Elfman in there, Dave, as well.
Oh, yeah, Danny Elfman's got to be up there. But yeah. I think, to be honest, Danny Elfman, he's done a bit too much Tim Burton stuff for me. I mean, you can't argue with the Batman theme. And I just think he's very good at that Tim Burton type stuff, but I'd have liked to have seen him work with some other characters, and I just don't think it's got that rousing kind of, you know, it gives you that rousing feeling when you hear a Danny Elfman score. It's just, it's very, very good, very atmospheric, and it gets you, you know, into an emotional state that the music, that the story is trying to tell you, and Danny Elfman layers that on top. But yeah, so I don't know, all legends though, have to say. But yeah, I'd be with you on that Facebook argument that you've had there, Chris.
Don't get involved like I used to. I used to get into some loads of Facebook dust-ups with people and stuff like this, but I'm like, no, I'm not getting involved in it. That's it. At the end of my story, I was like, right, okay. You've got your opinion, I've got mine. Just leave it at that. And that, right?
Yeah.
Well, there you go. Anyway, Dave, shall we get into our review scores?
Let's go.
So, Dave, I'm going to take the lead on this one. I want you to tell me today, because it's pointless with what I'm going to say. I think everyone knows where it's going. I'm really intrigued what you think.
Well, I have to say again, I think because of where I was in my life when this first came out, I was impressed by it. I thought it was good. But I'm not. I don't think it has that same nostalgic love feeling that I have with some other movies. And like I say, it's purely down to where I was in my life when it first came out. I watched it a few times since and really appreciated it, but I wouldn't have classed it in my top 20, 50 movies, you know, that you have. But I have to say, coming back and watching it now, I could properly, fully appreciate it. It's not a perfect movie by any stretch. I think there's quite a few little continuity errors. The biggest shocker straight away was bloody Richard Attenborough's Scottish accent that comes from nowhere. But, you know, I think I can get past all the things like that. I think the way the special effects stand up is fantastic. Okay, you know, you can see the little CGI lines, but Christ, like I say, it's 28 years old now. 28 years! It's ridiculous. And all of the practical effects that they've got in there, it all looks so real. Another little nitpick that I'll put out there. When the T-Rex comes down on the kids into the car, you know, this hulking great monster, I'm not having that the kids could just hold it off with a bit of plexiglass screen glass. You know, I think that bit looks not great, to be honest. But I can forgive all of that. It is just a great, great movie. And I think, like I say, I think the music as well, it's just so iconic. So, Chris, I didn't come into this with any expectations of, you know, I thought it would hold up okay, but it's held up better than I thought it would. And actually, I'm going to send it to Cloud City.
Oh, good stuff, Dave. That's brilliant. So good. And I will say, just a quick one on what you said, that bit is so jarring. You've got this fucking, whatever it is, fucking 10, 15 ton fucking T-Rex, but this young girl who obviously, she must have been in the gym, fucking holds him off with her legs. Yeah, that is nonsense, Dave.
Nonsense. It's bad, isn't it?
Yeah, that is nonsense.
It doesn't, of all the things that look great, that isn't one of them. As well as just the physicality of it, which is completely unbelievable, it just doesn't really look as good as some of the other special effects in there.
No, and I will say just quickly, when Alan and Ellie are pushing the Velociraptor from that door and they're holding it off, it's like, there's no way you're holding that off. That is just that pure force and strength would have just ran that door open with they would have just flew. So anyway, but yeah. So Dave, anyway, I'm going to be boring now, Dave. I absolutely love this movie. It is in my top 50, 20 movies of all time. It is an absolute legendary movie, legendary series that means so much to me. I just love them, the Jurassic Park films. If they're on, Dave, at any point, and ITV do a bit of a Fast and Furious Ang Lee's Hulk situation where they have them on a loop on like ITV3 and ITV4 all the time, I always watch them. So it's got to go to the top. I think it's fantastic. There's a couple of little nitpicks, like you say. You know, Jeff Goldblum's just a raging sex pest. Some of the CGI is a little bit off at the start with the Brachiosaurus, but I just think for pure tension and horror movies, scares as well, you've always got that tension, even though we've seen it so many times. I still watch it and I'm like, oh, go on, get away. So it's just brilliant. So he's got to go to Cloud City all day long. And I'm intrigued at some point that I will probably pick the second one for us to do, Dave, down the line. But we have got another Lauren Avadon one for my next pick, Dave. I've got it in the back pocket.
Oh, God. I can't even think what that could be, but
and it stars China O'Brien as well, Dave. No, it's in for your offer.
God. Oh my word. Right, well, Chris, for next week, we are it's back to my pick again. And I was deliberating over what to actually pick for this one. So I did chuck it out for a poll because I just felt, because we'd done a few Sam Raimi movies over on Comics in Motion, we'd done Spider-Man 2, hadn't we? And we'd done Darkman as well. Just felt like we had to go back, you know, a little bit further in his career and do Evil Dead 2. Now, it's a bit weird because Evil Dead 1 is basically the same film, but he couldn't get the rights to it, so he ended up remaking it. But I thought, you know, I'd shit you up a bit, you know, just for my own personal amusement. But the other one that I really wanted to do as well, you know, at some point soon, was Kickboxer as well, starring Jean-Claude Van Damme. And it was quite a close poll, Chris. It ended up with 55% in favour of Kickboxer, which I couldn't really lose, but, you know, it would have amused me to have you, you know, hiding behind the cushion in bright daylight, no doubt, watching Evil Dead 2.
Well, Dave, as soon as I saw it, I may have voted for it very quickly, and I was praying to the gods that people voted for it. So there was a lot of people wanted Evil Dead to stitch me up. I think people like Blake and that were sort of doing the maniacal laughing gifts. But no, I'm happy. I mean, look, Dave, Evil Dead 2, I don't think it's going to be scary. A lot of these ones that we've gone back and watched, they're not that scary now, but they're just not what I would
watch. It's more of a comedy,
yeah,
to be honest.
Oh, is it? Right, right.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, there are scary bits, you know, as the name suggests, but I think it is more of a comedy.
Ah, right. Well, but maybe we could do it next time then, Dave. But I am happy with Van Damme because I've watched Kickboxer quite recently and I know the beats of that so back to front, especially the dance, Dave. Especially as Blake did the dance, didn't he? Put my face on Van Damme. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to that one.
The winner and still heavyweight champion of the world,
the world's most powerful boxers don't fight in New York or Las Vegas. They live and die in a world of their own.
Eric, don't do it.
To underestimate a fighter like this is dangerous.
I saw the look in his eyes. This guy is crazy. He's fucking crazy.
To face them in the ring is suicide.
I'm the best.
For the sake of his brother, a man must enter this world alone.
May I help you? I want Don. And I want you to teach me Muay Thai.
And learn the art of humility.
It's very different in America. Your defense stinks.
Of faith.
Just listen. With your mind, your heart, your whole being.
And vengeance.
Your brother. Remember?
It takes a lifetime to master the art of survival.
You're going to fight Tom Paul?
Kurt Sloan has a matter of months. From the makers of Bloodsport, a new film starring Jean-Claude Van Damme.
I win that fight for you.
He's not gonna let you out of that ring alive.
The movie group presents Jean-Claude Van Damme in Kickboxer. It takes one to kill one.
Well, mate, how can everyone get in contact with us?
As always, guys, on social media, at VHS Strikes Back. If you want to email us, thevhsstrikesback@gmail.com. And if you do want to support us, guys, and you like what we do, get over to patreon.com/thevhsstrikesback. Big thanks to our Patreons. As always, they are Mr. Tony Farina, Brent from the Cinema Chat Podcast, John Hammond, Blake, Maff, Jack's Dan, or Herb, as he's known to, as his friends, and we are his friend now, Dave, so he's a good lad. We've got Lucky Lulu Green, Kent Gustafson, and we've got Dylan Beecroft as well. So thank you guys for supporting us, and some of the choices they've made, Dave, have been brilliant. So yeah, really looking forward to the next round of picks for everyone.
Awesome. Fantastic. Well, thanks for listening, guys. And Chris, how are you going to finish us off today for your pick?
Just an absolute fucking idiot, Dave. Every time we do, I'm just sat here going along, I'm dead pleased with me Cloud City and everything like hell. I've done a really...
I'm just going to wrap it up. How what could possibly happen?
All I'm going to say... Oh, I don't know, actually. Right, hang on. Right, keep going, Dave. Put some, like... background music.
Do 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 do.
I don't know. Here we go. This is not even going to be funny, but this is between Mr. John Hammond, not our good friend John Hammond, and Mr. Ian, Dr. Ian Malcolm, which I did think was one of the better lines of the movie, David. So Mr. Hammond says, "All major theme parks. Oh, in fact, all major theme parks have delays. When they opened Disneyland in 1956, nothing worked." And Mr. Malcolm says, "Yeah, but John, if the Pirates of the Caribbean breaks down, the pirates don't eat the tourists." Goodbye. A terrible acting day, but goodbye.
Bye now.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over. What the fuck are we going to do now?
What are we going to do? Maybe we could build a fire, sing a couple of songs, huh? Why don't we try that?
We better get back. Because it'll be dark soon, and they mostly come at night. Mostly.
I'll be back.
That's odd.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
Wax on, wax off.
Get to the chopper!
One ring to go.
All right.
Ding, ding.
Bust you up.
Go for it.
Well, here we go.
Ain't so bad. Ain't so bad. Ain't so bad. Ain't so bad. Ain't nothing.
You must be crazy or something.
I'm crazy.
You're just a stupid fool.
Yeah, maybe you're stupid. I ain't breathing heavy.
He's a fool. He's stupid.